This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, go to cropmetcalf.com to join their team. Remember, too, coming up soon, you can win a chance to win a trip to Florida for the ultimate college basketball viewing experience March 20th to the 23rd. Odyssey's Buckets and Bets contest at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Hollywood. That's your destination for tip-off weekend. We will give out the first of three occasions of the word of the day coming up shortly, like very soon. So keep listening for your chance to get that word and qualify for the contest.
So free agency is a week away, and we've talked a little bit about this. The Commanders have 28 free agents of their own that they may or may not want to retain.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys were integral parts of the team this season as they made it all the way to the NFC Championship game. And I was thinking about this last night. If you had to rate them in terms of importance, and I want to go around the room, we can go through top five or six guys only, in terms of how important it is for them to retain them. Now, we don't know other teams are going to swoop in and offer big money. We don't know any of that.
You're talking about simply our guys.
Yes. Yeah. Because that of course would impact your decision. If you're a GM and you know somebody offers Bobby Wagner $20 million, and then that's not going to happen,
right?
You'd be like, "Well,
nice knowing you.
Yeah, see you later.
Next stop."
But so let's start with him, Bobby Wagner. For a lot of people, they say he's the heart and soul of that defense, leader. Obviously, had a relationship with Coach Quinn before. 34 years old, he still made. I think alternate for Pro Bowl, right? So he still had a good season, but when you watch him, you know, EB likes to talk about it. Guy only kind of tackles in a little box. He's not going side to side.
Right. He's got a little closet that he works in.
But that said,
he's effective in that closet.
That said, he's a team leader. And here's the thing that's shocking. He played 99% of the snaps.
Yeah. It's in their whole
Every snap.
To me, I'm gonna say he's an 8 out of 10 in terms of importance.
I also have Wagner as an 8. He's just such a culture set resetter for them.
I'm going to say
in the
6.
Locker room.
Because I think they need to get younger and more athletic at that position. But he is good for the locker room.
I think they can do that. They can still keep him, but they could draft a young guy to kind of learn the ropes from Bobby Wagner.
He can maybe play 75% of the snaps.
I don't think you'd want him playing 99%.
No, probably not at 34.
I'd say 8 out of 10 is fine.
You're an 8 out of 10?
Sure.
I'll
tell you who's a 10 out of 10 for me. You guys will mock me.
Well, I'll go through each of the guys. You want to jump ahead? Sure.
Just one. Tress Way.
I would have said
he's
10.
He's a 10 out of 10. He's just a stud.
I have him as a 5 just because I just devalue punters.
He's one of the best
in the
league.
He's one of the best, big time.
I agree.
I look at him is I just feel like he's automatically going to be re-signed. Like they're going to look at whatever it costs to re-sign him.
I agree.
They're going to say, well, he's a stud. He's a Pro Bowler. We're going to sign him. But, I mean, I don't think re-signing him is a 10 out of 10. He's a punter.
Okay? No, he's not, I'm kind of with you, Cakes.
That important.
I'm going 5.
Punters aren't as important as other positions.
He's a 10 out of 10.
He's not going to cost you a lot of money.
If you don't have him, all of a sudden you're going to be a minus in that category. That position now is going to be questionable.
Jason, what'd you rank it?
Who?
Until I wasn't even going to bring up Tressway.
Tress 10.
10 out of 10.
Wow, 2 tens?
Until proven otherwise, it'd be a big question
He's one of the best in the league.
That's so fine. You think he's the most important guy? Well, we haven't gone through all of the
guys.
Most important free agent for them to bring back?
No.
That's not how
I'm ranking it.
I'm just saying if I'm ranking him 1 to 10, 10, I want him back. Yes, I'm going to give him a 10.
I think you're going to want a lot of these guys back.
No, not necessarily.
All right, so let's get to Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz this year, 66 catches, 654 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Yep.
Kind of like Bobby Wagner, leader, veteran. Yep. Seems like everybody likes him in the locker room.
Who'd you say?
Zach Ertz.
I've got him as a 9.
You have him as a 9.
Because you don't know what you're going to get from Ben Sinnott. He's a gigantic question mark. And Ertz is a reliable red zone weapon, over-the-middle weapon. Now, again, he's not spry. He's not going to run for 30 yards after he catches the ball, but he's dependable. And Jaden Daniels looks his way. He's a 9, in my opinion.
I think he's
way more important than Tress Way.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But I think you could get similar production from other guys.
Like who?
The thing is, the trust
either
is there.
A free agent or you hope that Sinnott develops into what you thought he would. We just didn't see him get on the field. So I have Zach Ertz, like him and everything, but I have him at a 6, just slightly above.
I mean, if they have Ertz. Faith that Sinnott can go out and catch 50 balls and 5 or 6 touchdowns, then Ertz becomes expendable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if they thought that, you would have seen a little more of it in his rookie year.
I think Cakes is right. He's a 9. He's a safety valve. Jaden trusts him completely. He pretty much catches everything thrown his way. Team leader.
And you don't need to give him 3 or 4 years. Give him a year or two extension.
I got him as a 6 as well. I need to get younger and more athletic at that position.
I think you could do that too. Same thing you do with Bobby Wagner. You just don't play him as much. He only played 66% of the snaps.
But Sinnott is a big question mark.
Yeah.
I don't think he's done anything bad. I just don't think he got.
No, you just expected more out of him in his rookie year.
You just haven't had, he hasn't had the opportunity, maybe.
When you draft a guy in the second round, you expect a lot more than what he gave you.
They didn't expect Ertz to do what he did. So that offset it.
I think they just had Ertz out there because they knew Sinnott couldn't do what Ertz was doing.
Well, I think because Ertz is better, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think it means that Sinnott, they're right.
I mean, I'm
off.
Not saying they're giving up on him.
Yeah.
I just think that this is a big year
Has
for him.
Has Sinnott done anything where you go, oh, well, this guy can't play? I haven't seen that.
No, we really haven't seen anything from him.
Yeah.
I think it's hard to formulate an opinion.
No, but I think there's a reason he wasn't out there as much as Ertz.
All right, so let's move to the defense. Jeremy Chinn.
Well, you're not even going to do Diami?
I will do. Just
right.
Chill.
Right.
Diami's low on the list, though. Especially after they just got...
Well, you said you were going to defense. I felt like you were giving up on offense.
I have one other offensive player, but right, I think we should talk about Jeremy Chinn. 117 tackles.
Seven. He was good, but like I don't stress safety that much. I think he's like a 6.
7.
6 out of 10.
7.
I think he's pretty good. I'm going to go 8 on Jeremy Chinn.
He's 27 years old, Jason.
He's young, and he played a lot better in the second half, I thought, than in the first half.
Cakes, what did you give him?
6.
I gave him a 6.
Yeah, I'm at a 7. I think he's pretty important. I don't think he's as important as Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
I think of the defensive guys, and I'll bring up another one now, Dante Fowler Jr. So he led them in sacks, 10.5 sacks.
Yeah.
His deal last year was 1 year, $3.5 million.
Oh,
so he's going to want a lot more than
that. He's going to get a fat raise. He's a 10.
Fowler's
he's
a 10
out of 10.
You
need pass rush in this league. It's about getting to the quarterback. He's one of the few guys on the roster that's shown the propensity to be able to do that.
Yeah, and
he's a 10 out of 10.
He's not that old. I thought he was a little older than 30.
He's just bounced. He's bounced around.
I'm not
right?
giving him a 10 because I think they're going to go on the draft and get somebody younger. So I'll give him a 6.
I think I'm in between you and Cakes.
Yeah.
I'll give it an 8, which is what I gave Bobby Wagner. I want him, but I'm not desperate to have him back.
Well, yeah, but if you don't have him back, what are you going to replace him with?
Go find a guy in the market that's just walking the street that is capable of giving you double-digit sacks.
Cakes, you're not at all worried that he completely fell off. First off, terrible in the run game,
yeah.
So he's a liability there. He had 2 sacks in the final 10 games. He piled up a bunch of sacks early in the season. The guy's been on 100 teams in his career. Dante Fowler can walk away.
I'm impressed
no problem.
By double-digit sacks.
Cakes, he piled them up early. He did literally nothing in the second half of the season.
He's not
invisible.
Looking at a game
log. I'm not looking at game-by-game breakdown. I'm looking at his final production.
Well, what did he do in the playoffs? Nothing. December.
Cakes wants to bring back all the 40-year-olds on the team.
Maybe Dante.
He's got tens on all the oldest guys.
I've been accused of being an ageist. I gave Zach Ertz a 9.
Yeah.
I gave Wagner an 8, and I gave Fowler a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Hold on, Fowler in the playoffs.
You guys think that the...
Hold up, Cakes. Fowler in the playoffs. They played three games.
Yeah.
Here's what he gave you. Five tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Hey, if you guys have...
I don't think they barely put him out there.
If all of you guys, including Drab, if you have... Yeah. If you have a guy who's capable of 11 sacks in your back pocket that I don't know about, I'd like to know who that is.
He played 52% of the snaps in the playoffs, and he's a 10 out of 10 re-sign for you?
10 out of 10. Because he can.
I need a new GM.
He can sack the quarterback 12 times. And I don't know that many other people on this roster that can do that.
Well, no, they're maybe not on the roster now. But the roster is going to look different in August.
All right. I value guys who can get to the quarterback and disrupt offenses.
All right. I disagree with them.
I'm weird that way.
All right, so they also had a guy in Cleveland Farrell who had 3.5 sacks.
He's a zero.
He's
literally a zero.
No, I think he's a good depth guy.
He might be a negative.
I think he's a good depth guy.
Like, do you remember,
I actually like him as a depth guy.
Do you
he's
remember,
a five.
Do you remember him making one
a five.
Play? Do you remember one play at Cleveland Farrell jumped out?
I mean, nothing spectacular.
I don't remember one.
I
don't remember why. Look at my TV saying, wow, that Cleveland Farrell, he jumped off the TV screen
at me. He didn't. No, but he's a depth guy.
He's a nice guy.
Wasn't he a top four pick?
Yes, oh, yeah. He's overdrafted by the Raiders. He's a zero.
No, he's a five.
We have wildly divergent opinions of these free agents.
By the way, you know
Farrell sacks, though. I mean, his statistics in the postseason, very much like Dante Fowler's.
That's fine, but he didn't have them in the regular season either, from what I can
recall.
You
know who else allegedly that they definitely want to bring back if they can, and you're going to be infuriated?
Oh, a kicker?
No.
You're going to mention a kicker?
I mean, I don't know about what they want to do with kicker, but supposedly they definitely want to bring back John Bates.
That's fine.
Was he a special teamer?
As a blocker.
Well, no, that's what he does.
I want John Bates to block with his jersey pulled down like this.
Why? So they can't?
So he can't throw him the ball.
He generally catches it.
Don't put your hands on a guy and block him, but never put your hands like this to catch a ball.
He catches it.
All right, Jason, what did you give Farrell?
That's not what he's out there for.
Farrell,
I gave him a two.
I'll give him a four.
A four. All right, the last one, and then we can talk receivers.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota. I think it's a 7 or 8. I'm going to go 7 because he played in 3 games. He won the last game for him. I know it was meaningless against the Cowboys. And yes, Jaden managed to get through the season.
They feed off each other well.
I feel like he's important.
I'll give him a 6. Slightly below your number, but I mean, having a good backup quarterback is important.
I'd say 7.
Man, he's a backup quarterback.
He is. But he's a mentor.
You give him a 7. I don't want any point
.5. You guys are giving punters 10s. What are we even talking about here?
Well, because the punter,
the best punter in the league. Punter you lose all, the best punter in the league.
The punter is going to play every game.
Okay, well, if Jaden Daniels snaps his leg like a twig, so is Marcus Mariota.
Well, then the season's over.
Yeah, most likely.
I'll give him a 5.
All right, you give him a 5.
Actually, you know what? I'll give him a 7 because he played in the system and he's comfortable with that.
Well, he's not
a must-have.
I mean, Jaden clearly looks up to him, and he's passing his knowledge. I think it's important.
Coming up in 3 minutes, we will give you that key word.
That's right.
For the Buckets and Bets promo.
Yeah, so keep listening.
Let's tackle wide receiver. Yeah. And I don't want to go through each of them and grade them. You have Diami, you have Oz, you have Noah Brown, and Jamison Crowder. You get to keep one.
Diami.
One out of the four?
EB's keeping Diami.
I second that. I keep Diami Brown out of those four.
Mm.
And I don't even consider Jamison Crowder.
Crowder makes plays.
He's your special teamer.
He's versatile.
You can find punt
returners. He's kind of quick and shifty.
Punt returners, dime a dozen.
Yeah, but he's like he's one of the better ones that we've had.
And I did like Noah Brown. It's like almost forgot about him.
Yeah.
I'll go Diami. He's a little bit younger and faster, but either one. One of the Browns.
But I'm not paying Diami Brown crazy money.
No.
$5.5 million per year. That's Diami Brown's neighborhood, which is great money, but it's kind of like pauperville for NFL wideouts. But that's about where he's at.
If you had to bet, so they have 28 free agents.
Mm-hmm.
Now some of them are nups.
Mm-hmm.
How many do you think they will retain?
Like 15.
Yeah, at least a dozen.
I'd say
minimum.
I'm gonna go under 15.
I'll go under as well.
12 to 14.
Just remember
a good number.
Just remember how much turnover they had last year.
Right. They're going to turn.
Now they were just getting gutting
I'm
the,
tell you
gutting
right now, you
team.
Don't, they don't even have to have a meeting about these
right.
guys.
Like on
Mike. Like they're, sir, KJ Osborne, gone. Michael Davis, gone.
St. Juice?
Michael Dieter, gone. St. Juice, gone.
Yep.
Driscoll, gone.
Driscoll's meaningless.
Noah I.
He actually
St. Juice.
I think he played a lot. I think he made.
I think
plays.
They might keep him.
Yeah, I like him.
Derek Forrest.
I don't even really understand.
Ron guy. Bye.
Zane Gonzalez.
I think Kaz Allen gone. I don't even know how to say this guy's name. Haggai Chisholm Badoozy gone. I don't even know how to say the guy's name. Cakes.
Got to give him a nickname.
Derek Forrest, unfortunately gone.
By the way, let's recap.
Kel Walker gone.
For me, the most important guys to re-sign were Bobby Wagner and Dante Fowler Jr.
Yeah,
I gave those eights. For Bish Bucks, the most important guy to re-sign,
Tress
Way.
Yes.
For Cakes, the most important guy to sign, Dante Fowler, but he also has Zach Ertz as a nine. And then for EB, he's got Zach Ertz as a nine, but Tressway is a 10. I mean,
Tressway just killing
you
it with half the
you
room.
You just give up the best punter. We need the best punter. The key ingredient. We punt a lot.
Not really. Not they had games they without punting.
They punted a lot with Tressway before Jaden Daniels showed up.
But when he's out there, he's going to pin you inside the 15.
I consider him like he's already signed, sealed, and delivered. He likes it here. He's a lifer. He's not going anywhere.
You think you're going to get a hometown discount?
I feel like he might just say, you know what? I like to be here. I like the team. I love Dan Quinn. He'll get the best of both worlds. He's going
to
be here. I sweat him resigning, not one bit.
What if he wants his number back? He gave up his number.
Sure he cares about his number. Are you kidding me?
What did he make last year? He made $3.5 million-ish, something
good
like
deal.
That.
I'm
good
with you, though, Cakes. So he went from 73 punts to 50.
Right. Yeah, he's devalued.
Not even punting three times a game.
Devalued Tressway. I love Tressway, but he's not as important as he was two or three seasons ago. All right, you can win a trip to Florida for the ultimate college basketball viewing experience March 20th to the 23rd. Odyssey's Buckets and Bets at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Hollywood. That's your destination for tip-off weekend. Enter now with the keyword BRICK at thefandc.com. theteam980.com, thefanrichmond.com for your chance to win. The keyword is brick. We're the junkies. We'll be right back. If you missed the keyword for the Buckets and Bets contest, that's okay. We're going to give it away two more times before the show is done today. So keep listening for that keyword. We'll give it away again soon. We'll alert you when it's about to be revealed.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
All right, so we wanted to get into Barry Zwerluga's column he wrote for the Washington Post. Masson provided cover for the Lerner family. Those days are over with the Masson resolution now. That news broke yesterday. Now there's no more excuse for the Lerners as far as, well, our hands are tied because of the Masson deal. We're not getting the revenue stream that we should be getting from the TV side. We know that their games will be broadcast on Masson this season, but then in 2026 and beyond, they will be crafting their own broadcasting rights deal.
Right.
So they should.
They're a free agent.
They are a free agent.
While they may have been using that as an excuse, I never gave them that excuse. I think most fans were disappointed that they didn't go out and do more
I would agree.
In the offseason.
100%.
And what I always look at is, all right, I don't expect them to be the Dodgers.
Right.
The Dodgers seem to be in a class of their own in terms of spending. I don't know what their payroll is, but they just go out and pay all these top free agents and bring in guys from Japan, and they have a ridiculous payroll.
They're deferring a ton of the money. Mm. They're kicking that can down the road, but they're
But when the Nationals were good, and I'm not saying just the year they won the World Series, but for a decade, they had a competitive payroll.
Right.
You know, sometimes they were in the top five. They were in the top 10 regularly. And somehow they became the Oakland A's.
Right. And that kind of coincided with potentially selling the team. The team being on the market.
My point is, and I get it with why Verlugo writes the column, and he makes good points in the column, but the cover, the Masson deal existed when they were winning a World Series. Mm-hmm. The Masson deal existed when they were top five in payroll.
They were spending money, though.
Yeah, that's right. My point. So you can say that the Masson deal is a cover, and I do think it will help them that this is resolved. Mm-hmm. And apparently not only will the TV rights, you know, be up for Monumental to swoop in or another network to swoop in, they're gonna name the stadium, right? They're gonna get money for naming the stadium.
Yeah, Barry points out in the column, the Nationals have neither a naming rights deal for the ballpark nor a corporate sponsor on their uniform. The only MLB team that receives $0.
That's kind of strange.
They're leaving so much money out on the table.
That's kind of strange. I think the Masson deal just opens up the strong possibility now that Mark puts the team up for sale at the end of this year.
Yeah, it becomes a much more attractive
asset. And I think you got to remember that when the payrolls were higher in the top five, seven, whatever it was, there was a different man calling the shots. And I think that had a lot to do with it. Because right now, Mark and whoever else is in that family that's calling the shots, they're not spending the money that Ted Lerner spent.
Right.
Right now, they're 23rd in the league in payroll. They're $200 million behind the Dodgers. $200 million.
How are you going to compete?
Probably over the
$200 million behind?
And look, I said this for years as Ted Lerner got older. Like, he wanted them to win a World Series before he passed. Like, if I were him, I would say, spend the money. I want to see this team win a World Series. Like, that's what we're in this for. That's why we own the team. I understand it's a money-making venture, too, but let's be honest. For the Lerners, the Nationals, it's a hobby. The Nationals are a hobby to them.
I think it's more than a hobby.
This is their side hustle.
I think it's more than a hobby, but you have to draw the line somewhere, I guess, in terms of profitability and those sort of things. But if you spend more money, you're likely, it's not a guarantee, but you're likely to win more games, which means more fans will come to the games, which means the TV ratings will be higher, and you end up making the money back.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Lerners might think, well, we're going to spend X amount of money, we're going to draw this amount of people to the ballpark, and we're still going to make a nice profit.
Mm-hmm.
That must be their approach.
They seem to be clearly sticking to a budget.
Right.
Versus, in my opinion, being forward-thinking and investing in some players who might cost a little more, which is going to help you win more games. And again, bring in more fans.
Well, they
because fans have grown frustrated.
They're clearly not interested in that now. And they're hoping that these young studs, or maybe they don't even care, because they figure by the time these studs are stars, if they become stars, the team will be sold. But if you look at the division, the Mets, the Phillies, and the Braves are all in the top eight in payroll. Can you compete with
that? It's hard to keep up with that.
You know, like, I mean, Kansas City kind of shocked the world last year because the year before they had, I don't know, somewhere in the 60 win range. And then they get to the playoffs last year with not a big payroll. But this team isn't doing that. Not in that division.
It's shocking. So I just went back 10 years ago. A decade, 2015. So this is not the World Series year. In 2015, the Dodgers were still the number one payroll. They were at $272 million. What are they at now?
Who? Dodgers? The Dodgers. 321.
That's not that different. The Yankees were number two at $219 million. The Red Sox were number three at $187 million. The Nationals were sixth at $164 million 10 years ago.
Yeah, they're down about $60 million from that.
It is just shocking that they haven't been able to put a naming rights deal together. We know that we had a friend that had a deal and she had bought champagne and everything, and like it was, and then at the last second it got stopped. But that was like 10 years ago. And supposedly they've been closed since. How can they not close that deal? How can they not have the patch deal? I mean, it's just like free money.
It's shocking.
There's free money on the table.
Barry points out, he says negotiating with the Lerners can be excruciating. Like it's a tough sledding negotiation.
Well, then they need to just move on.
Well,
why are they? I just don't understand why they're leaving all that free money out on the table.
I don't. It doesn't make any sense.
No sense.
Like if somebody's like, "Hey, we're going to pay you. I'm just making up a number, $30 million to wear a patch on your uniform. That should be a no-brainer.
Right.
Like, don't you want that revenue stream coming in? Don't you want to sign a 10-year, $100 million deal, $150 million deal with a big corporate sponsor to go on your uniform?
You got
to
think about this, too. They're 23rd in allocations, so in money spent to guys that aren't on their team mm-hmm. necessarily. But in terms of the active roster, they're even further down because they got $65 million on the active roster as opposed to about $100 million to the allocations.
Right.
So.
Well, the Strauss thing, is that off the books finally?
I don't believe so.
One
think
more
so.
Year?
I think that's
they
why.
They signed it in 2019.
I think that's why the number is so big.
Although
I saw
a graphic. They're going to have this freaking. He did one of those deferred deals,
oh,
right?
Oh, he's going to get deferred money for, I think, a long time.
Aren't they still paying Scherzer, too?
Yes.
I think so.
I saw a graphic that Scherzer and Strasburg were the two highest paid Nats.
Yeah.
I think it's frustrating. Just there's a change in philosophy. Something happened where all of a sudden they went from a competitive team in terms of payroll. Like I said, a decade ago, you're sixth in Major League Baseball to a team that's trending to be like the Oakland A's. I mean, the Christian Walker story, whether it's true or not, I don't know, that Rizzo's at his house about to sign a deal and then learn.
I mean, I'm not saying what he said, but
we dumped that.
Well, I mean, I don't think you have to dump that. What's reported, I think he disagrees with. You know,
hey. Who knows what happened? It's not like Christian Walker would have put him over the top, but that's just an example of not going after a veteran that's going to cost you, $20 million per year and settling for guys who are going to, you pay $10 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they decided to do.
Strasburg in from 26 to 29 is owed 23, 26, 26, and $30 million.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they're still paying for guys who aren't on the team. And their active money is much less.
Well, it's ridiculous if they they do these deals that a lot of the players don't even want to do, and then they use those as an excuse to not spend money.
Right.
It's crazy.
So yesterday when the Masson thing went down, I was watching the show from home with my sick kids. You guys all immediately said,
let's freeze it up for Ted.
Yeah. But I actually think the opposite with the stadium naming rights and the patch. It just tells me they want more money to operate the team. They're not really interested in selling. And we haven't heard that they're interested in selling in 2 years. I think to me this says they just want to free up more money to compete.
Yeah, you may be right. Look, we should if you take him at his word, he doesn't want to sell the team anymore. Right. Now that he's outsourced getting the naming rights and outsourced getting something on the uniform. So whatever company he's paying, they're looking to get the best deal.
I think.
And maybe they have a minimum threshold, because I've always been surprised that those deals are not that expensive in my mind. Like the rights for Northwest Stadium, I'd have to check. Didn't they pay just like $50 million?
I'd have to look at the exact numbers. But I mean,
I don't know what that number
usually
was.
They're multi-year deals that, I mean, I don't know how much a naming rights for a stadium goes for this in this era, but it's probably $5, $7, $10 million a season, something in that range.
I think a college stadium, some of them you get for like $1 million.
The Commanders,
yeah, I don't know.
The Rangers.
The Commanders signed a naming rights deal with Northwest Federal Credit Union, Northwest Stadium, 8 years, $72 million. So $9 million a year. Yeah. I mean, That doesn't get you a good player in Major League Baseball or the NFL.
But it's a revenue stream.
It is.
You need those coming in from a bunch of different sources.
Both of them put together, the average is going to be about $20 million. Rangers, Globe Life Stadium, that's their new stadium, is for $11 million a deal a year. The average patch sponsorship is worth about $7 to $8 million a year. So you're looking at
that doesn't even get you Christian Walker.
Yeah, but it gets you more money to operate the team, which I think is what they want to do. And not sell.
Yeah. Look, again, if you take him at his word, he's not selling. He's not interested.
I don't believe him.
You can't take
I believe he would sell if the number was right. I don't believe the number.
Isn't that what you say when you want the bidding to be even more?
Maybe they're just quietly
Yes, but it's also what you say when you don't want to sell.
Right.
Well, if you don't want to sell, you don't say it's for sale at some point. Right?
But you can't change your mind.
I guess you can, but clearly, at one point, at least some of those learners wanted to sell.
I know a lot of people say
there was a dispute. Some wanted to, some didn't.
I know a lot of people say, I'm going to move, and then 2 years later, they're like, nah, we decided not to move.
If I were Mark Lerner, I would have Ted Leonsis's number, and I'd be trading numbers with him weekly. I mean, that's probably not the best way to do it, and maybe it's even against the rules, but I would pull up Ted's number in the contacts, and I would send him a number. I would say 2.4B uh-huh. ? Yeah. And see what Ted says.
But back to the larger point of Zerluga's article.
Yeah,
there shouldn't be any more excuses for this team. It's five straight seasons losing, right? And I believe Rizzo when he says we've done it before and we've got a plan, and they're bringing in all these young players. But at some point, they need to start winning again.
I mean, if you talk to Riz about 2020, he just kind of throws that out.
Right.
Okay.
So you kind of just throw it four straight losing seasons.
Well, they haven't had a winning season since they won the World Series.
Yes.
All right. And it's 2024.
It's 25. Yeah.
2025.
Yes.
Yeah. 2025. The World Series.
I agree with you.
Feels like a long time ago.
Right.
I just buy the conventional wisdom that the TV deal, the lack thereof, was prohibitive for most people to show serious interest in buying the team. Now that that has been taken away, that impediment, I don't see why they wouldn't be sold. And I think Ted
it just depends on the desire about doing it.
Yeah, it depends
on the desire of Ted.
Oh, I think he wants it. I think he wants it pretty bad. It fulfills his monumental vision.
Yeah.
No, Ted Leonsis, I know. I'm saying for Lerner. He might not want to sell. He says he doesn't want to sell.
Ted is not around anymore.
I'm saying Ted Leonsis.
He's saying Ted Lerner. Right. Yeah. It's Mark Lerner.
Getting mixed up with all our Teds. Yeah. All right, coming up at 8 o'clock, don't forget, we'll be joined by Nikki Javala. We'll talk Commanders with her. That's coming up at 8 here on The Fan. Coming up in 3 minutes, we will give you today's keyword for the Odyssey Buckets and Bets contest, where you could win a trip to Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida. That's your destination for tip-off weekend. So in 3 minutes, we'll give that keyword away, and you can enter the contest.
So when I punch up my browser, MSN News comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And everything picks up your algorithm, and sure. I always get these stupid Netflix stories. Like right. These are the Netflix top streamers, and I find this hard to believe. Have you seen anything about Kate Hudson's new show?
I have not. No. I don't know anything
about
it.
What's it called?
So Kate Hudson is essentially playing Jeannie Buss.
Okay.
And the show is called Running Point.
No, know nothing about it. The last time I saw Kate Hudson, she was playing Penny Lane in Almost Famous. Valdez loves that movie.
But they can't call them the Lakers, even though they're clearly pretending to be the Lakers.
They're doing a fake bit.
Like I think they're called the Los Angeles Waves.
Hate it. I hate it already.
I haven't watched 1 second of it, but according to this story, it's 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Are they wearing, don't tell me they're wearing purple and gold uniforms and they're calling themselves the Waves, thinking that people aren't going to know that they're supposed to be the Lakers.
Because they have the trophies behind her. I mean, she's clearly playing Jeannie Buss.
I can't watch any sort of show or movie where they do a fake team. It's supposed to be a corollary to a real team.
Yeah, and
I can't buy it.
I gotta believe too that the basketball looks awful.
Oh, it has to.
Not as bad as look, Jason. I mean, the uniforms look so cheesy. Watch, you'll see it.
I just can't do it. That's just a bridge too far, JP.
Is it Netflix? What is
yes, it's Netflix.
JP, please tell me you're not going to digest that content.
Well, the only thing I'll say about this is
NBA and all things TV.
I think you like.
Please don't watch.
I think you like Ted Lasso, right?
I do like Ted Lasso.
I like Ted Lasso a lot. It's being comped to Ted Lasso, but I find it hard to believe. Believe me, I've seen it on Netflix.
Yeah,
And I was like, well, that's a joke. Because it just bothered me. They're the Los Angeles Waves.
Yeah, I can't. Well, it's just based on it.
Yeah.
So they're just taking the story.
So you think it could be good?
I think it could be good. Here's why. First off, my wife was raving about it last night, about the buzz about it, right?
Okay.
She said all her friends are talking about it or something like that. And I'm like, I barely heard of this thing.
No, know nothing about it.
And then I saw that the star of the show, outside of Kate Hudson, is who plays point guard for the Wave.
Okay.
And I didn't know this guy was such a silly. I thought he was a goofball.
Okay, who?
Chet Hanks is apparently a phenomenal actor in the show.
Really?
Is that Tom Hanks' son?
Yes. The rat, his the white boy
the
summer,
the tattoos.
Don't know much about him, I'll be honest.
I know the other straight.
It looks
like
he was straight
all roided out at one point.
He's the black sheep of the family.
The straight man Hanks was in Dexter, wasn't he? He's been in a bunch of
Orange County.
Yeah, he's been in a lot.
Colin Hanks, I believe.
Colin,
I think
that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, Chet Hanks is the goofball son who is apparently an absolute phenomenal actor in the show.
The basketball looks horrible.
Yeah, it has to be terrible. Sure.
Well, that's when I punch out. I can't do that.
All right, it's time now for your keyword for the Buckets and Bets contest. Enter now with the keyword brick at thefandc.com, theteam980.com, and thefanrichmond.com for your chance to win that trip for college basketball's ultimate viewing experience, March 20th to the 23rd. Odyssey's Buckets and Bets at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Hollywood. That's your destination for tip-off weekend. That is your second of three chances at the keyword today. There'll be another one later in the show.
I know it's just a show, but like, whenever you see like athletic, like basketball highlights for like a fake movie, or
yeah.
I just think of like Fresh Prince of Bel Air, how terrible the clips are.
Well, yeah, I think of Saved by the Bell. There used to be some sort of show where the court looked like it was 20 feet.
What was the show? Like, is it Hanging with Mr. Curry or something? What was that?
Mr. Cooper.
Cooper.
Mark Curry was a star. I'm conflating.
No, but there was a Saturday morning show which the basketball court looked so small. But you know what? Would Kate Hudson do something that's awful?
Sure.
I kind of respect
her.
For money.
I mean, she's had a pretty good career, but I mean, I don't have to digest everything that she puts out.
What's the only reason why you're interested?
Running Point.
Running Point, yeah.
She's the only reason why you're interested.
No, and then again, see, my algorithm puts TV shows up here, and it said something about 95% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. And I had seen promos. Like, I'll click on Netflix, the coming up section, right? And
they'll
say coming up this week or coming up this month, or and it kept coming up, and I basically scoffed at it. Hey, I had no interest. But now there's some buzz.
I can't trust anybody. Anora just won Best Picture.
It was good.
And it wasn't the Best Picture of 2025.
Well, what was the Best Picture?
Well, I can tell you with certainty it wasn't Anora.
My buddy was telling me this weekend, and I didn't realize it until he texted me later, that he was watching this film on the flight to Orlando.
Okay.
And he said there was so much nudity. He was on the flight.
Yeah.
His daughter's sitting next to him. She's like 15, 16 years old.
Awkward.
And he's having to hit his iPad to fast forward. It was Anora.
Yeah.
Right.
He said it was like watching a porno.
Well,
it was like being on porno.
Yeah, it was like watching a Skinamax movie from back
in
the day.
He was so embarrassed.
A lot of cheeks in that movie.
Can you imagine?
I don't think you get any frontal. It's just a lot of butt cheeks.
And a lot
he
of
he didn't do the background check on what it was about.
He just knew it was like up for an Academy Award or whatever. And wanted to watch it on the way down, right? You know? And it turned into a
nightmare. I thought you were going to say it was on the monitors and on the seats.
No, I don't think so. I think it was on his iPad, but you know, he had his little tray out.
Yeah.
And the ladies are walking by giving you pretzels.
Right.
And he's watching porn out.
Right, pretty much.
And his daughter's sitting right next to him. I don't know.
I just I think AI is pretty amazing. So I just typed up, is Running Point good? And it came back. Running Point is a, I don't even know this word, convivial comedy.
I've heard that
with
word.
With a great cast and a unique setting. Then it says, while it lacks ambition and depth, it is charming enough to get by.
Convivial.
Never heard of convivial.
It's a vexing word.
Well, if you guys, you know, JP brought up Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso shows not a lot of soccer.
Yeah.
You know, they show training. That's easy to do. But as far as their match footage, they show very little. Mm-hmm. If this is a similar thing and it's about Jeannie Buss behind the scenes and it's a lighthearted comedy, well, they can easily get away with that.
Convivial, friendly, lively, and enjoyable.
I might give it a shot.
Learn something new.
She basically said she wanted to do the role because she grew up in a bunch of, she grew up in a predominantly male household. And I guess they were always watching sports. So that's, again, she's also getting paid for it. Man, she looks good for 45.
She does.
That's the best looking 45.
How many rock star baby daddies does she have? At least
she's got
two,
at least
right?
two, I think. Right?
Chris Robinson, and who's the other guy?
Oh.
From The Used or something? Or
I don't think she dated the guy from The Used. She didn't. Did she?
I don't think
she didn't
so.
Date Burt McCracken, did she?
Dude, I'm just throwing out names.
Okay.
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know her dating history.
I think both her kids are that rock star dads.
Okay.
She might still be with the one.
I don't know.
She came on the show. She was great like 15 years ago. Do you remember
what
that?
What was she promoting? I can't even remember.
She's currently, she was with Matt Bellamy.
I think that's the guy.
Matt Bellamy was with Muse.
Okay.
Muse, you can understand.
I know who Muse is. They have one monster hit.
Yeah.
But what about Danny Fujikawa?
That's another one. Think she had a baby
rock
with
person?
Him? Dude,
well,
I think so.
She's engaged to him, or maybe she's married.
Dude, she's got a type.
She might have three kids with three different rock stars.
How many kids does she have? She has three. You're right.
Hey, going back to running point. I think Jeannie Buss has got enough ADs over the last couple of years.
Feels like she's had Jeannie Buss.
A lot of Jeannie Buss and the Buss family with the HBO show and now this. It really would be amazing if they did a mockumentary of a Dan Snyder show. And all the stories we've heard over the years.
Hey, we know a producer now. Pitch it.
We do know a producer.
Get Clank on the phone.
That's not a bad idea. Do a mockumentary of Dan Snyder.
Who would we cast as Dan Snyder?
I don't know, like some
stumper, really,
some small,
really
weasel.
Short guy,
some 5'3"
Who's
weasel.
Hot right now.
I don't know.
What about Macaulay Culkin's brother? Can we get him?
Culkin,
yeah,
be a little guy.
I don't know.
Maybe like
Hey, who does he look like?
Kieran Culkin, though, is very witty. He's convivial.
Yeah,
I don't know. I've only seen him in Succession.
I mean, not terrible personality.
Yeah,
though we have. Everybody tells us if you had 10 drinks with Dan Snyder, you'd love him.
10 drinks, you love anybody.
We should pitch it.
I think it's a great idea. I'm just bitter I didn't think of it.
Set up a pitch meeting.
I feel like I'm not involved. It was your idea,
Call
not my
David
idea.
Call David Bernad immediately.
No, it's on the air. It's a group thing. Tell him we want 2%.
Was our guy David Bernad at the Oscars? I'm assuming he was, right?
I'm sure.
I don't know who it is, but the guy from The Wolf of Wall Street who has the toupee, who they always goof on with the glasses,
yeah,
that's your Dan Snyder.
That's a good one. I mean,
it looks exactly like a smarmy
CEO type. I don't know his name,
CEO
but I know
type.
Exactly who you're talking
so
about.
So what's the setting?
The
just at like
Ashburn Park.
Ashburn Park.
That's kind of how Ted Lasso worked.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then you've like, you know, then there's relationships.
Yeah, it's like the office slash Wreckin' Park.
And it's him just like hollering at cheerleaders or watching footage of there and they're like a camera in their dressing room.
That can be one of the sets. Another set has to be a yacht. We've got to find a yacht.
Yeah, of course. Be on his yacht with Jerry, with an old owner.
Oh man.
And their PJs.
Yeah, we can make millions.
Yeah, you can have some big Hollywood heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Be like the guest stars and someone can be play a Jerry Jones type.
Somebody's got to play Bruce Allen.
Jerry Jones can play Jerry Jones. Yeah.
You could call him the Red Tails.
Sure.
Whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
Who's going to punch up this script?
Dude, I think we might have something.
You got
there's a lot of scenes.
Seed of a great idea.
Presented by Coors Light.
Right?
Corporate tie-in. Hey,
get Bruce
you know
in there.
What? You could teach the Nats a thing or two or ten about corporate
JP,
tie-ins.
Text him right now. Say, we got an idea. We want to pitch you on an idea, a mockumentary about Dan Snyder.
No, just don't even say Dan Snyder. Just say pitch you a mockumentary.
Right. Yeah. Love it.
On a ruthless, doofus owner.
We need to have
stumbled into owning a team.
We need to have a tight one or two sentence pitch, though.
Yeah.
It's Ted Lasso meets something.
Okay, you can come
up. That's what they do.
I know I'm not good at that.
You can come up with that, JP. That's your job.
Yeah. I don't even know.
What is it meaning? Ted Lasso meets?
Ted Lasso meets... ultimate buffoonery. I don't know.
No, Wrecking Parks.
You could have so many storylines, though. You could have him like overpaying free agents. You could have the stadium falling apart.
Hey,
and not paying.
Hey, you have a free agent come for a visit, and you like lock him in the city.
Yeah,
or like lock him in your mansion.
You just throw money at
him for 48 hours.
Yeah.
You don't
let him leave because you want him to sign that contract.
And you have him firing coaches all the time. And bringing in the ice cream, the melted ice cream to the vanilla defense.
Mike you got Nolan. Him on the phone at 12:01 calling. Haynesworth's agent. Hey, we want to sign your big fat client.
You can have him buying amusement parks that fail, buying fast food chains that fail,
buying Dick Clark Productions.
Right.
You have workplace sensitivity day because there's harassment all over the place.
I actually think it's a great idea.
Toxic workplace. We create and that.
I would do a lot of heavy, like, being a creep with the cheerleader stuff. And, like, a lot of heavy, office inappropriateness.
Right.
The number one result on ChatGPT, Commanding Chaos. The Dan Snyder Show.
Ooh, that's a good title. Brings the new terrible name into the mix,
I think
too.
John C. Reilly as Bruce Allen.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, it's a great, great casting. Great casting.
Thank you. New casting director credit.
You get that credit. All right, coming up later, we will talk real things, Commanders, with Nikki Javala. She's going to join the show in the 8 o'clock hour. And Dante Whitner, he'll be with us at 9:40 as well, right here on The Fan.